sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day, the moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
Mark chapter 14 actually takes place on the night before Christ was crucified. But right here in this chapter, he mentions the resurrection. And I thought it'd be appropriate for us to consider today verse 27 and 28, Mark chapter 14, verse 27 and 28. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Let's pray. Father, I ask that we'll understand some of the depths of the meaning of your words to the disciples that night when you said that after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Father, speak to our hearts through the word of God and through your Spirit. Lord, I pray that if some have come today with uncertainty about their soul's salvation, Lord, maybe they're only 50% sure of heaven, or 60, or 70, or even 90, or 95. Lord, I pray that through the Scriptures, they'd understand that they could be 100% sure and know they're on their way to heaven if they'll stop trusting themselves and put their trust in you. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and then give us all a renewed vision of the glory of your resurrection. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse tells me that the resurrection was pre-planned by the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't like that night with his disciples, he said, oh no, they're coming to arrest me. Oh no, I'm on trial. Oh no, I'm getting crucified. What am I going to do now? Oh, I guess I'll have to rise again from the dead. No, no, no. This was pre-planned ahead of time. And he even told the disciples, you can see it right there in verse 28, after that I am risen. He hadn't even been crucified yet. He hadn't even been arrested yet. But it was pre-planned by the Lord. His talk with the disciples here leaves no doubt that he knew that he would both die and rise again from the dead. Why would he do that? If it's pre-planned, why would he pre-plan all of that? Do you know the answer? It's so people like me and like you could be saved from our sins and from the just punishment for our sins, which the Bible calls hell. And God didn't want that. He wanted us to be saved. And so Jesus pre-planned the fact that though man was sinners and would be sinners, he would provide a way for us to be rescued from our sin. You know, my sin makes it so that on my own I can't go to heaven. God is perfect. He can't stand sin. And he can't allow sin into his presence. And so here I am with many sins. But if I had even just one sin in my life, I can't go to heaven on my own. Because God can't let sin into heaven. Some people are misguided. They think, well, if I'm good enough, if I obey what God tells me to do and do my very best, that maybe I'll make it to heaven. But folks, that doesn't take care of our sin problem. If we could get to heaven by being good, Jesus wouldn't have died. But he pre-planned that he would pay that price on the cross, shed his blood to pay for my sins and yours. Blood in the Bible was always a symbol that would cover sin. The Old Testament, they sacrificed those lambs at Passover. How many knew this was Passover week for the Jews? All right. Every year, Passover time, they sacrificed those lambs. Did you know that I believe that the very moment when Jesus was hanging on that cross was exactly the same time, I believe, when they were sacrificing those Passover lambs? Because Jesus said, he is the Lamb. John the Baptist identified him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we don't have to shed the blood of lambs and goats and doves anymore in sacrifice, because Jesus paid it all with His blood. And the picture that was painted by those lambs throughout the centuries was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Once and for all, His sacrifice paid for our sins. He did that because He didn't want us to have to pay for our own sins. We couldn't pay for them anyway. The only alternative would be to be separated from God for all eternity. And the place that's going to happen is the place called hell. You say, well, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. Whoa, 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 whoa. God doesn't send them to hell. Our sin does. But Jesus paid for that sin, so you wouldn't have to. And so I wouldn't have to. Now, Jesus paid for everybody's sin. Does that mean everybody's going to heaven? We know that's not so. So some people say, well, you got to be good enough. No, the Bible says not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. The Bible says by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we got to heaven by our good deeds, we'd boast about it. We'd brag about it. We'd say, well, hey, you know, I was pretty good. No, there has to be a time when you understand, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve heaven. And then understanding it is the first part. But then the Bible says you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Well, how do you receive something? If I were to give this pamphlet as a gift to Alexandra, what would she have to do to get it? You don't have it yet. She has to take it. Now, does she have to pay me for it if it's a gift? No, it's not like, you know, those bait and switch, you know, free gift for a donation of $20. No, no, no. Christ provided for us, but we've got to receive Him as Savior. And there's some people who reject Him. They, various reasons, some people, no, I've lived my whole life trying to earn my way to heaven. I'm not going to say my good works are nothing and I need Jesus. Or some people say, it's Jesus plus my works. And in reality, they're not trusting Jesus at all then, are they? They're trusting their works. It has to be, Lord, my good works avail nothing. I'm going to trust You. And the way you receive Jesus, there's nothing to grab. So the way you receive Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you make that transaction with your heart, and perhaps even with your mouth, you call upon the name of the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven, but Jesus, You died for me and I want You to save me. When you pray that and mean it, a transaction takes place. And at that moment, the Bible says you are passed from death unto life. You become one of His. You are saved from hell and from sin. And from that moment on, that's why I can say, I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, not because I'm a preacher, not because I give money to church or got baptized or confirmed or catechized or any of that stuff. Keep the golden rule. No, it's because I realize my good works can't avail anything. And instead, I put all my trust in Jesus. And as a boy, I prayed a prayer something like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. You died for me, and I want You to save me. Now, if you've done that, you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, not just called on Him for grandma to feel better or for financial needs, but actually called, prayed the big prayer. If you actually called on Him to save you, the Bible promises that He saves you. And the opposite is true. If you've not called upon Him, then you can know for sure that you're not on your way to heaven right now. And if you're not sure if you called upon Him, well, then you're not sure if you're on your way to heaven. And you better make sure. You better call upon Him today. That's why He pre-planned the crucifixion, His burial, and then His resurrection. You see, if my sins put Him on the cross and He dies and stays dead, that means my sins conquered Him. But when He rose from the dead, that shows that He conquered my sins. And He is the one who can truly be our Savior. All other religious leaders, first of all, they couldn't die for my sins anyway. They had their own sins. But even if they could, they couldn't raise themselves from the dead. And so Jesus pre-planned the death, burial, and resurrection so that he could be your Savior. At the end of this little talk I'm having, I'm going to give you an opportunity to decide to receive Christ as your Savior. And if you do it, he'll save you because the Bible promises it. And we'll want to show that to you right from the Bible before you leave today. And we'll give you that opportunity at the end. The resurrection was pre-planned by the Lord. Also, the resurrection was powered by the Lord. Look down in our verse, verse number 28. After that I am risen. Now, I got a little question for you. Was Jesus risen or was he raised from the dead? Now, perhaps you remember back to your high school days, they talked about the two words raise and rise, and you had to use them correctly. Remember that? And the difference is this. In one of those words, the subject is doing the action. In another of those, the subject is having it done to him in a passive voice. And so when it says Jesus is risen, that's different than Jesus is raised. If he's raised, that means he was raised by somebody else. Sometimes the Bible uses that because it talks about God raising him. However, our verse uses the other word, risen, which tells me that Jesus rose from the dead under his own power. You see, there are other people in the Bible who came back to life. There are other times when those miracles were performed, but none of those people rose under their own power. None of them were risen. They were all raised. But the Bible is specific when it says that Jesus is risen from the dead. He rose through his own power. He had the power over life and over death. And that's what makes him different. Matter of fact, he told everybody in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Jesus said, I've got the power to raise myself from the dead. And he told the disciples he was going to do it, and that he did. So the resurrection was powered by the Lord. Now, why is that important to us? Because that same power that could overcome all of our sin and raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to you and I after we're saved, after that transaction takes place. That same power is now available to help us live like Jesus Christ. That same power to reproduce his life in us and let him live out his life through us. It's through that resurrection power. And I'm going to talk about that a lot more tonight at the 6 o'clock service. But he was resurrected and it was his power, his own power that did it. The resurrection was powered by the Lord. Something else in our verse. Look again in verse 28. The resurrection transformed scattering into gathering. You see, in verse 27, he says, you're all going to be offended in me. And he quotes a Bible verse from the Old Testament in Zechariah that says, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. The sheep were those disciples, those followers of him. Some of them said, oh, we would never forsake you, Lord. We would never deny you. But Jesus knew they would. They would be scattered. When he was arrested and put on the cross, only one disciple was there at the foot of the cross, and that disciple was John. All the other 12 disciples, the other 11, had all scattered and gone their way. Peter, remember, denied the Lord 3 times. And they were not only scattered physically, I believe they were scattered spiritually. Peter probably felt miles away from God. Did you ever feel that way sometimes? I just feel so far from the Lord right now. Well, guess what? The resurrection, the crucifixion caused him to be scattered, but the resurrection caused him to be gathered. Because look what he says in this verse. After I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. You see, the disciples were used to him being their shepherd. Day by day, they trusted him. And he said, I'm going to be crucified, you're going to be scattered, but then I'm going to gather you back together and I'll go before you into Galilee. He can't go before them if they're all going 11 different ways. He's going to go before them. They're going to be gathered once again. Even to this day, here on Resurrection Sunday, we gather to worship the Lord. And across our nation and across the world, people are gathering today to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some folks in America, it's just Christmas and Easter are the only times that they gather to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it wasn't like that in the early church. The Bible says six times in the gospel that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And it also says that the early church began to meet on the first day of the week. Acts 20 verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. Okay, he was having an evening service, and Paul preached till midnight. You think, I'm long-winded. Whoa. Paul preached till midnight. But it was on the first day of the week, on Sunday, when God's people gathered. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. They gathered, that's when they took offerings on Sunday, the first day of the week. They gathered and they laid up in store. So the resurrection is not only a scattering, it's a gathering. And God wants us to gather with his people. Revelation 1:10 calls it the Lord's Day. I wonder, do we set aside Sunday as the Lord's Day? Oh, I know some people have to work. Sometimes my wife has to work. But we've got in our minds to set it aside and say, Lord, this is your day. And if I got to work Sunday morning, maybe I can be with God's people Sunday night. If I got to work Sunday night, maybe I can be there Sunday morning. And if you are not hindered about being here, don't stay home and watch TV. Be gathered with God's people, because that's the purpose of the resurrection, to change scattering into gathering. And then my last main point today, the resurrection continues the Lord's shepherding of his sheep. He was their shepherd. Notice he said, I go before you into Galilee. Just as the shepherds in those days would lead their sheep. They didn't drive them. They didn't drive the sheep like American farmers do. They led the sheep. And the sheep would follow their shepherd. Someone that wasn't their shepherd, they wouldn't follow. But they recognized their shepherd and they would follow him. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that a great promise? Our shepherd holds on to us. But why did Jesus say this to them? You see, the disciples had been following him steadily for 3 years. They relied upon him for direction, for leadership. And now, Christ had come to the night of his betrayal and arrest. And his crucifixion and burial were going to happen the next day. And it had to go through the disciples' mind when Jesus said, they're going to arrest me and kill me. They probably thought, are we going to lose our shepherd? Are we going to lose his direction? Are we going to lose his leadership? And the answer to that question is a resounding no. Jesus says, no, after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. I will continue my role as your shepherd. I will continue to guide you. The Lord goes before us. The Lord goes before us. You know what? In our lives, we don't know the path ahead. But don't worry about that, because the Lord goes before us. We don't know how this sickness is going to turn out, how this financial need is going to turn out, how this family situation or this relationship trial is going to turn out. We don't know. But wait a minute. We don't have to fear, because the resurrected Lord, our shepherd, goes before us. Can you do the first verse of Psalm 23 with me? Say it if you know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you ever think about that? I shall not want means I shall not lack. There's nothing. Just like a shepherd's going to take care of those helpless sheep. He's going to make sure they get to the pasture and feed them in green pastures. He's going to make sure they get water and lead them beside the still waters. In the same way, my loving shepherd takes care of me And if you're saved, He takes care of you because He promises, after that I am risen, I will go before them. One of the great things you can rejoice in on Easter Sunday is that we serve a risen Savior and He goes before us. He goes before us. He knows the path. He's seen it all ahead of time, and He's going to take care of us right through to the end. He goes before us. Then notice with these disciples, as He shepherds them, He says, I go before you into Galilee. Galilee, what happened to Jerusalem? That's where He died and was buried and rose again. You know, what happened to Jerusalem? You know, God's city, you know, the chosen place where God chose to place His presence in the Temple of David and the Temple of Solomon. And after that, the temple that Zerubbabel built. You know, what about Jerusalem? No, Jesus said to those disciples, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to lead you. And I'm going to lead you to Galilee. And the disciples probably went, Galilee? That's where I was raised. This week, I had a guy come and fix my dryer. And as he was talking, I recognized his accent. Now, I've lost some of mine, but perhaps some of you still recognize it. But I recognized right away, he was from the same place as me, Philadelphia. And I started talking with him. He was from northeast area of Philadelphia, same as me. Oh, really? And so we're talking about this road and this place and that place and this shopping area and all this. And then I got to witness to him and give him the gospel. But you know what? Whenever somebody brings up your home area, there's kind of, for most of us, some warm feelings about that area. I remember the area I grew up was one of those streets of Philadelphia that had a little circle and houses all around the circle. But it was a small enough circle they couldn't put any houses in the middle. So it was grass and it was our football field. And when I was a kid, it just seemed like a huge football field. Now when I go back and look at it, it's just this tiny plot of grass. It's not even as big as this room. But it just seemed big as a kid, you know. And we go play football on the plot, you know. And that was a lot of fun. And stickball and baseball and all that stuff we used to do in the city. And here he says to the disciples, look, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. Why into Galilee? Jesus is telling them, look, I want you to tell everybody about my resurrection, but I want you to focus and begin that job in your home area. Begin it in your home area. And so he says, look, I'm going to go before you, but it's not going to be in Jerusalem. I'm going to go before you into Galilee. As we read the Bible, we'll see that right after he was crucified, they didn't know what to do. And they went to the upper room where Jesus had broken bread with them and gave them the Last Supper. And they were there praying. And Jesus appears to them, and I believe that's just right outside Jerusalem. But then he disappears again. And then they don't know what to do, and they go to Galilee. And when they get to Galilee, Jesus is there again. He encourages them. He restores them. And he lets them know what they ought to be doing. And he says, I go before you into Galilee. He's going to lead them. I believe in the same way the Lord leads us. And we all have different paths that He leads us on. But I think this principle applies. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. Mark 5:19. I think He wants us to start at home. Make sure mom and dad and son and daughter and brother and sister and aunts and uncles know how to be saved. Oh, they might not believe it yet. They might not receive what you're saying. But at least tell them. Tell them about the greatest thing in your life. How many would say the hardest part is getting started? Yes? Okay? Here's how I got started with my relatives. I said to them, I said, look, I've been going like 15 years now that I should have told you about the greatest thing in my life. And I want you to forgive me for something. Forgive me for never telling you about it. And if you let me, I just want to tell you about it right now. The greatest thing in your life? You're asking forgiveness for not telling me? Sure, tell me. And then when I start telling them, some of them are like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Some of them are like, yeah. And they'll listen. But that's a good way to get started. look, I got to ask your forgiveness for something. I've never told you about the greatest thing in my life. Would you let me tell you? Would you let me tell you? And start at home. Start at home. We have a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I love that phrase. And thy house. It's good for everybody in my family. And I say, Lord, you said that. Would you save my aunt and my uncle and my grandparents? Would you save them? And the Lord saved my grandparents before they passed away. Woo! So excited. They received Christ as Savior. And start at home. Start at home. If they won't receive what you're saying, after you tell them, you've got some peace because you know at least they know. And if I got word that some of my relatives passed away even today, I would say, you know what? I had told them, I'm just going to pray that they had made that decision before they died because they knew how. But if I never told them, I'd be kind of uneasy. So start at home. Start at home. He went before him. And watch, the Lord's going to go before you as you go home to your family and friends. He's going to go before you. He may be preparing their hearts even during this Easter time so that they might be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ because the Lord goes before us. And he tells us to start at home. So what's that mean? Well, start with your family, then your neighbors. Let your neighbors know. And then your neighborhood. Make sure your neighborhood knows. And then Northport. Let's make sure Northport knows. That's our home. Some of you, it's Englewood and Arcadia and Venice and Port Charlotte. Let's make sure they know. Let's start at home. They started in Galilee. And then they began to spread. And after we tell folks at home, actually I think at the same time as we're telling people at home, we can be spreading the gospel around by sending others to the surrounding areas. And maybe all of Southwest Florida needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. All of Florida needs to hear. All of the United States needs to hear. All of North America needs to hear. All of the world needs to hear. How could that happen? Because Jesus goes before us. He goes before us. And he says, look, I'm going to go before you. And you start in Galilee. And then tell everybody about my resurrection. I wonder, have you told anybody recently? Let's ask ourselves a few questions as we close. First of all, have you placed your trust in the resurrected Jesus for your soul's salvation? If you're not sure, would you make sure today? Second question, are you setting aside the Lord's day for gathering with God's people? Because the resurrection's all about gathering those that were scattered. And then number three, are you allowing the Lord Jesus to lead your life and to make you a witness for Him, beginning at home and then spreading wherever He sends you? You know what? If we allow those things to take place in our lives, it won't just be today that's a happy Easter. It'll be every Lord's Day. And as we allow Him lead in our life, it just won't be on Sundays. It'll be every day pretty soon that our life experiences the joy and the power of His resurrection.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.